Rock Public Radio, this is The Art Scene. I'm Daniel Breen. If you've seen Sally Nixon's work, you know it can be hard to describe. She feels the same way, letting the pictures do the talking. The best way to see it is on her Instagram, at Salustration. There, you're presented with a series of vignettes that seem unrelated, but definitely look like they're part of the same universe. The universe where time seems to have stopped around 1989, where fashion, interior design, and the typically minute and minuscule are elevated and celebrated. Nixon hails from Pine Bluff originally, studying art at UA Little Rock and now calling Central Arkansas her home. And it's from her home base where she's launched some of her most ambitious projects. Nixon spoke with The Art Scene fresh off of a year-long drawing challenge, posting one image per day for 365 days. Her Seek and Find book, Houseplants and Hot Sauce, paints busy yet intimate portraits of elaborate scenes. Ones that catch the reader's eye with its celebration of diversity and vulnerability in the context of female empowerment.
Well, I went to school at Euler. I was actually commuting between Pine Bluff and Little Rock when I went to school. And then when I graduated, all my friends were up here. So,
do you come from an artistic family, I guess?
No, my dad's a doctor. My mom's a stay-at-home mom. I have four sisters, so.
Was there any pressure to sort of not be an artist in your family?
No, they always encouraged it, actually. My first 2 years of college, I was focusing on, like, other stuff. And finally, I was like, art is, like, that's my favorite subject. Like, that's all I want to do. And my parents were like, yeah, good. Like, just do it.
How did that sort of first manifest in your life? When were you first, what were your first inklings that you liked to do art?
Oh, gosh. Since I was a little kid, like, I don't even remember, you know, starting. Like, I've always drawn. That's what I do.
Do you remember maybe, like, what some of your inspirations were back then? Like, what caught your eye that you liked to?
I've always liked Maurice Sendak, like, his style and his stories. And then TV and movies. I actually didn't like cartoons when I was a kid or comics at all. I was really picky about, like, the artwork. But I loved movies. My sister would, like, show me all these old movies that she was into. And she would, like, tape TV shows on VHS. And she's 12 years older than me. So she would be off at college and she would, like, tape Friends and, like, you know, stuff like that. And bring it home on the weekends and, like, show it to me. And I don't know, I was always, like, stories have always kind of driven me in my artwork.
Yeah, it's kind of like I can see how certain comics, like, you wouldn't like certain comics because, like, the story is more sort of like a lazy reused image and then just, like, a huge word bubble or whatever. It's, yeah. Like, it seems like in your art the story is, you know, there's no words in your
right.
art, essentially. It's
right.
just all the image.
Yeah, I don't use a lot of words. Yeah, that's how I communicate best is through visuals. So,
yeah, and trying to communicate the story through the visuals, do you think it's like a byproduct that it creates such a specific visual style, or is that like what you're going for from the start?
Probably both, you know. I want to tell stories, and like, but I'm just the words, I'm not as confident in the words, like writing the words for it. And I can tell the story better, I feel, through an illustration. I can tell more than I probably would with words.
You mentioned Friends specifically. Like, I really like Friends because of how it looks visually. I really like that, like, time period, like the late 90s and early 2000s.
Yeah.
And I think, like, just by looking at your work, I'm struck that, like, it's modern, right? But it's kind of like it's nostalgic
it
as well.
It is. It's kind of like I'm kind of trying to create my own world, sort of like Springfield for The Simpsons, you know. I don't really have a name for it, but it's very nostalgic. I love like 80s and 90s fashion. And like, I don't like putting a lot of like modern technology in my work. There aren't a lot of cell phones. Sometimes if I draw a cell phone, it's like a cell phone from the 90s. So, but it is still kind of modern. It just kind of takes place in like it doesn't really take place in a certain time. It has its own time, I guess.
I mean, it's not like you're trying to make it hard for there to not for people to figure out what when it is or whatever, but mm-hmm. it's like one thing that makes it harder is that like we're kind of in this renaissance of like 80s and 90s fashion, like
yeah.
a lot of the outfits that your characters wear, like I'll see people actually wearing yeah. those things.
Yeah, it's like it's in fashion now.
Yeah. yeah, and it's very much like a cozy feel, I guess. I don't know. I really mm-hmm. get that feeling. I mean, maybe that's just because it's nostalgic to a time period when we were children, right? But it's mm-hmm. like everyone is in this one place. They're all kind of in it together. Mm-hmm. Especially in your book, I'm going to get it wrong, Houseplants and Hot Sauce.
Yes.
Oh, I could have sworn it was the other way.
I get it confused too. Hot sauce
and houseplants.
No, it's houseplants.
It's houseplants yeah. first. Okay.
Yeah. Actually, my publisher came up with it, and it was my first book, so I was like, yeah, sure, that's fine. I'm terrible with like titles, so.
Was that just based on what they saw in it, or?
Yeah. Well, and based on like my pitch originally, like there was more with hot sauce about it, but.
Could you elaborate on that? Or?
Well, you were supposed to like find like the girl who you follow through the book, Jane. I don't even know if her name is like in the book, but her name is Jane in my head. She like loses stuff from her purse throughout the book, but we kind of ditched that idea because it was too difficult. But and like she carried hot sauce in her purse because I think like the Beyonce thing.
You mentioned the title of it. What was the inspiration for the book itself?
I always wanted to do like a Where's Waldo type book because I love drawing detail and like really detailed scenes and like lots of stuff going on. That's what I'm drawn to. That's what I like to look at. So I wanted to try to do it. And when Chronicle Books, my publisher, approached me, they asked if I had any ideas. And I said, like, yeah, I have this great idea for a... like, Where's Waldo for adults? And they loved it, so just went with it.
That's something I've never seen before. Were there any things like that out there for you that inspired you to do that?
There were a couple. I didn't know about them. I think my publisher, like, sent me a couple, you know, examples when I came up with that idea. And they were like, yeah, it'll be similar to this. But I'd never seen anything like that. But that was around the time that, like, coloring books for adults were really popular. So they really liked the... idea of that.
You know, obviously they'd seen your work before. Did they give you just kind of free creative reign, or was it
pretty much yeah it was awesome. Like I talked to them in like May, and then they were like, okay, go do it. And then I turned all my stuff in like December. So
really, so it just took you like 6 months?
Wow. I would have asked for more, like now I would ask for more time, but then, you know, it was my first book. I was like 26, so I was older than that. But
oh yeah, it was.
I think, I don't know.
Was it? Is that because you also did this thing where you did a drawing every day for a year?
Yeah.
Is that like? Yeah. Are you motivated by deadlines or?
Sure. And I love school, so I think that like that was like me giving myself homework assignments.
Basically,
really? Yeah. I kind of thrive on that. So,
I mean, I can only imagine that it's tough to sort of balance trying to give yourself enough time and be inspired and not feel like you're forced to create something, but also then I would just be lazy completely. I wouldn't do anything.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. Well, I tend to be lazy. So if I have something I have to do, like it forces me not to be lazy. So
the question is like, what was the process of getting exposure and getting out there so that you are in a place where you can write a book, mm-hmm, essentially.
Right. Well, I did my first year-long project, daily drawing project, I started in 2015, and that ended in 2016. And after that, I started getting more followers on Instagram, which is where I would post all my drawings. From there, I did Lenny Letter, which was Lena Dunham's like weekly or biweekly newsletter. And I got exposure that way, so I got more followers from that. And yeah, Chronicle, I guess, saw that I had a following and they liked my art, so they approached me about it.
I guess, would you say that things like Instagram have made it a lot easier for people to get exposure out there?
Yeah, and I think I hit it like at the right time. I don't know if it's like now. I don't know if I could get the following I have now you know, again. Yeah, there was a time there in, like, I guess, was it 2016 where, yeah, like the algorithm or whatever is different. It's yeah. harder to get followers.
Really? Have you, like, noticed that, or have you heard?
I've
that?
Just heard, because, yeah. like, I already have my following, so it's, like, I don't. But from, like, friends, I, like, give them advice on, like, how, like, what I did. I just, like, posted every day. And I think it's a little harder now. Like, I think you don't show up in everyone's feed and, like,
okay.
you know, that kind of thing. I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of biased for people who already have, like, a large following
yeah.
or something.
Yeah, yeah.
That's interesting because, I mean, what advice do you give people now since that kind of,
like,
doesn't work?
Make art.
Yeah.
And put it out there. Like, that's all. I don't have, like, there's not, like, some secret formula. Like, you know, just make a lot of art and put it out there for people to see. If they like it, they'll follow it. They'll tell their friends, you know.
I guess the question is, when did you discover that for yourself? Was it in school that you found that, you know, because you were always creating, but mm-hmm. when did you, I guess, find out how to get it out there, why to get it out there?
That's a good question. I think, okay, I read somewhere, and I can't remember where it was. I think it was in a book. It might have been, I can't remember the book, the name of the book. But basically it said, like, yeah, just make stuff and put it out there. And that's, you know, I think it was How to Steal Like an Artist, maybe. But yeah, that was basically the advice. Like, just keep making, basically.
Do you ever worry about, like, running out of ideas? I want to phrase that in a way that's not so mean, but
I used to. Yeah. But, like, I realized the more you create, like, the more ideas you have, which, like, it doesn't sound like it would be that way, but it really is. Like, and I can draw different versions of, like, the same thing, or, you know, I never run out of inspiration. Like, and maybe that's because of, like, what I tend to draw. Like, I'll draw anything. I want to draw everything. Like, so I'm not, like, limited in, you know, subject matter, really.
You tend to focus on, like, inanimate objects a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like we were talking about earlier, like, the time period that can't really be described. Like, I think that is what describes it the most. Mm-hmm. Especially the soft drink cups with the cool blue swirly thing.
Mm. Yeah.
That's, like, when I think of you, I think of that kind of in a pizza slice and things
yeah.
like that.
Nice. I want people to think of that.
I mean, it just seems that that's, like, sort of, like, a very personal thing for you. Like, those are objects that you like.
I'm
them.
Drawn to them. Yeah. yeah. And I don't necessarily know why. Like, fast food containers. Yeah, I draw a lot of, like, food. Yeah, I really don't know why.
Yeah, and, like, the, especially in your book, like, the scenes, mm-hmm. they kind of feel like a dream, maybe. Like, you know, you have those dreams where you're just, like, in a huge crowd of people, and maybe, like, you're in a huge crowd of your friends, and it's just, like, a good dream. Like, it's mm-hmm. happy. It's, like, everyone feels like they're together in something. And, mm-hmm. of course, because of, like, the environment that you've created, it also feels like it's, you know, it's kind of like an amalgamation of things in your mind, mm-hmm. maybe.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned, like, you know, the best way to do it is just get it out there. Was it ever, like, scary for you to put that out there, to think, like, maybe you're exposing too much of yourself?
Yeah, I don't really draw, like, anything too personal, though, so I never felt like I was exposing anything about, you know, I was yeah. never scared in that way.
Yeah,
really. My first daily project that I did, I drew more nudes, like, mm-hmm. you know, naked ladies. Mm-hmm. And I was a little scared to put that out there because I didn't want to get, like, blocked on Instagram, or, you know, I didn't want my account shut down, all that. But I was a little afraid of, like, what people would think, like, my more conservative fans. But then I was like, well, I don't really want conservative fans, so let's, like, weed those people out, you know.
What made you move from, I guess, like, human forms and characters towards, like, well, I'm not saying, like, your work is entirely inanimate objects, but mm-hmm. it's, like, it seems like the story is more of, like, what the people are doing and wearing than the people themselves
right.
in your current work right now. Mm-hmm. What, yeah, I guess what was that process like? Was that just, like, kind of your art style maturing, or are you just getting more comfortable with it? Or?
Yeah, I like to come up with characters without, you know, writing anything. So I feel like, you know, what they're wearing, what surrounds them describes them and can kind of like give personality to them.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to The Art Scene from UA Little Rock Public Radio. I'm Daniel Breen. Our guest is Little Rock-based illustrator Sally Nixon, whose book, Houseplants and Hot Sauce, is available in bookstores nationwide.
What is the story that you want to tell with your art?
Good question. My publisher wants to know. I don't know. Like, I have a million stories I'd love to tell. It's just like picking one, you know, to focus on. That's my problem right now, or what I'm trying to work on.
Do you feel kind of like you're chipping away at an individual story with sort of like small drawings like you do?
Yeah. And that's kind of what I did this last year, why I did it. I didn't like the ideas I was coming up with. I didn't like the way I was drawing and what I was drawing. So I just wanted to like really focus on that and try to, you know, find something. And I came up with a few characters that I really like from that project that I'd like to continue, you know, flesh them out a little more.
What's your relationship to the characters since we, you know, we've talked about like the relationship between you and the objects and things like that. What is the, who are the characters to use?
Well, there's this little girl I draw. Her name's Margaret. She's in several of the drawings. And she's based on me basically as a kid, sort of. And then I have some just random characters. Like there's like old, like really tan guy that I draw on holidays. His name's Frank. he likes to sunbathe and wear like tiny bathing suits. I don't know. I don't know how he came about. I don't know what I would do with him. Maybe he's like Margaret's grandfather or something.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember seeing Frank on Christmas. I think it was, he was like a welcome Santa Claus visitor.
Yeah. He had like a bunch of fruitcakes from all his girlfriends.
He did. Yeah. Frank is a player.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
That's why he has to keep that immaculate tan.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Yeah. What were you like as a kid, would you say? Because I don't know offhand the drawings that you're referring to, like the character based on you, but is that a mirror image of what you're like as a kid?
Sort of. Like, I drew her once, like, she's sitting in an inflatable chair, you know, like, from the 90s, reading Harry Potter. Like, that was me. I was pretty quiet, shy. I liked to, like, draw by myself. I mean, I had friends, but, she's creative. I was creative. I am creative.
It was, like, growing up with so many sisters in such a big family.
I mean, it was great. It's like, it's all I know, so, you know.
Yeah.
I loved like having older sisters, because they, like, my sister would show me TV shows I wasn't really supposed to be watching, but I don't know. I love having a big family.
We did talk about sort of like the things that are important to you in your art. Is there ever a moment when you see something, maybe not something new, but you see something in a different light and you think like, that's something I like now? Or
I go through phases where I like to draw like certain things. Like I got really into reflections this last year, just like, you know, reflective floors. So I would like be out and see like a marble floor and study it and like see what it, how I would draw it. I would think about like how I would draw it. And I'd do that with a lot of things, like things I'd never really thought about before, like this microphone. Like I don't think about microphones ever, but I, you know, think about like how I would draw it, like how it's constructed and like details like that.
Is that sort of like something you've always done, or is that?
I think it's kind of developed as I've done the daily drawings, because I mean, you kind of have to. I'm constantly like searching, or I would constantly be searching for like something to draw, something new to draw, just to, you know, meet my daily drawing quota.
One of the things I'm most curious about is like, what is the process of doing the daily drawing? Is it, are you working on like 5 different drawings constantly through the week, and like you finish them one by one?
No, I just did them one every day. I would start it. There was one day I knew I was going to be traveling, and I wasn't going to be able to do, you know, my drawing. So I did it the day before. So I did 2 drawings that day.
Yeah.
And then posted it. And I felt a little weird about that, but there was nothing I could do.
So. Yeah. You can't draw it on your airplane tray table.
No.
Yeah. Do you just like wake up with an idea, or you wake up? I guess like how late is too late for?
Sometimes I think the latest I ever posted was maybe like 10 or 10:30. But yeah, I would try to get it done by like 5. That didn't always happen. But yeah, some days I would wake up with an idea and just do that. But sometimes it would take, you know, several hours of just like sitting there, you know, or I would go clean and come back to it, you know.
What do you use to make your drawings?
I use pen and marker.
How did you sort of settle on that?
Well, in my first daily project that I did in 2015, I started out, I was doing pen and watercolor. And then I was getting tired of that. And I started using colored pens more and like integrating that. Then I just dropped watercolor because, I don't know, it was messy. I was sick of it. And I really liked the control of just like holding the pen, like the control with my hands. I bought a few markers. They're kind of expensive, so like I couldn't like go full out with marker, but I would use it in certain places, you know, throughout my drawings. And then I started buying more and more markers, and yeah, just I love marker now.
And they're different than like a Crayola marker.
They're not Crayola. Yeah. They're like Winsor and Newton. Those are probably my favorite. Prismacolor.
And that just gives you like more control than watercolor and like less
like
bleeding.
With a brush, I'm not great with a brush, I guess. I like the, you know, detail that you can get with a marker.
Have you ever thought of other media like branching out?
Yeah, I'd like to do some painting just so I can go bigger. I mean, you can't really do like a big piece in marker because that would be crazy. You get carpal tunnel for sure. I'd like to experiment with like acrylic, I think.
Are there like stories that you feel couldn't be told in like a smaller drawing that you have?
No, I think I could tell anything in a small drawing, but I would just I'd kind of like to do maybe like a gallery show someday. And I feel like bigger pieces would make more of an impact maybe. And I just like to experiment with it, you know.
Any other book ideas maybe, perhaps?
I'm working on it right now. Coming up with ideas. I have a lot. It's just, you know, it's hard to narrow it down.
How'd you get involved with Lena Dunham? I was just curious.
the art director, I guess, Laya Garcia, I guess she was a follower, or she saw my stuff on Instagram. She emailed me. I had to like Google her to make sure she was like legit.
Yeah.
I was like, oh yeah, sure. Lena Dunham wants, yeah. I mean, Lena Dunham didn't have anything, like I didn't talk to her.
Right.
But
and
that was really like, I credit her with like, you know, my like starting my career basically, because I didn't really have like, I'd done a few like Arkansas magazine, you know, work, that kind of thing. But that was my first like big job.
That sort of like led to other big jobs.
I haven't done like a ton of magazine work. I like just making like what I want to make. So like focusing on my Instagram and just like selling prints, and you know, that's how I pay rent basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm kind of happy doing that. Like I'm not, I don't really care if I like make $1 million. So if I'm able to just like make what I want to make, and I can pay my rent, like that's, I'm okay with that for now.
Sure. Yeah. What was the transformation or like the transition, like from to into like being a professional artist, essentially? How was that for you?
Well, I worked in a bakery. I was like a cake decorator, and I would make like cookies and stuff. And then I just like, I don't like having to be somewhere at a certain time. I don't like having a boss. It was really like just getting me down. So I decided it was kind of stupid what I did. I just like quit my job and was like, okay, I'm gonna be an illustrator. I didn't really think about it, and thankfully like it worked. Like I made it work. I don't advise anyone to like quit their job, but yeah, I mean, that's what I did. It was all like, it was really the only choice I had. I hated going to work, so I had to make it work. So
it wasn't like scary for you at the time. It was more of just like, no, I'm so
kinda
done with this place.
I was kind of dumb and just like naive. You know, I was in my early 20s. So, and I had no, you know, I don't have like kids or a family. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yeah. And Arkansas, Little Rock's pretty cheap. So I was able to like pay my rent on the few magazine jobs I was getting.
Advice you would give to aspiring artists?
Just make art. Like, yeah, and I highly recommend like drawing every day, because that's how, like, before I started, I didn't have really like my own style, mm-hmm. and it kind of forced me to like find out what my style was. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I highly recommend just make art. Like, that's the most important thing.
Sally Nixon is a Little Rock-based artist and illustrator. Her works can be seen on her Instagram at Salustration, and you can pick up some of her prints at her Etsy shop of the same username. Her book, Houseplants and Hot Sauce, is published by Chronicle Books. That's our show for this week. Please join us next week at the same time. I'm Daniel Breen, and The Art Scene is a presentation of UA Little Rock Public Radio.